welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Delaware's 2025 statewide student assessment results reveal only a 1% increase in math and reading proficiency rates for grades 3 through 8. Relatively stagnant test scores have become a familiar theme for the first state as school districts continue to work on making up for COVID learning loss and return proficiency rates to pre-pandemic levels. This struggle persists while the state is in the process of overhauling its core education funding formula in hopes of making more equitable investments and improving student outcomes. This week, Delaware Public Media's Sarah Petrowich spoke with State Education Secretary Cindy Martin about her reaction to the latest assessment scores, how the state is moving forward, and what countywide reassessments mean for the new funding formula.
Well, thank you so much, Secretary, for taking the time to talk a little bit about education test scores funding in Delaware. So starting off, want to reflect a little bit on the statewide assessment numbers that were just announced. So I know you said in a statement that no one should be satisfied with these scores. It looks like in English and math proficiency, rates rose, around 1%, if not remained stagnant in most cases. So I want to just get your initial reactions to these scores and you kind of flesh out your process in determining what does this mean for the state of education in Delaware.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you definitely got my quote. That's what I said. No one should be satisfied with these results, and really a 1% gain, percentage point gain on each of the two sections that we assessed that could be a rounding error. That's like no growth. It's not going backwards, but it's not the kind of growth that Delaware students deserve. And frankly, what I've seen in terms of some of the bright spots where there is possibility for growth, I want to see more of that. And we're going to build on those bright spots. Delaware has done a lot in terms of investment and a lot in terms of being able to prepare and support, but it's not translating to these scores. And so getting underneath that, at the end of the day, a test score like the SBAC, that's the test that Delaware takes annually. It's third through eighth grade, and then the SAT scores in 11th grade. That's a once a year assessment, and that is an assessment of learning. It's the assessment that happens at the end of a school year. And I'm making a distinction between an assessment of learning and an assessment for learning. Teachers in the classroom every day use assessments for learning that give them direct, immediate feedback on, I just taught a lesson, is a student learning? Is a student reading on grade level? If we wait for the end of the year test, the assessment of learning, the lagging indicator, the autopsy, that's what you call an end of the year test in simple terms, it's too late to do anything about it. What we need is to build the systems of excellence day by day in the classroom so teachers get real-time feedback in their teaching, and that you're building time for teachers to work together, to be able to look at real-time data on students and not wait for the end of the year assessment. That's too late to do anything about it. And so I take it as something that we look at and say, where do we see systems and pockets of excellence? And then how do we build from that? But I want to actually dig into support for our classroom teachers and make sure they have the tools that they need every single day and not the once a year assessment, but the daily, weekly, monthly, that principals in Delaware can be instructional leaders that are in supporting their teachers in the building to have the tools and the resources that they need for students to learn and have the kind of academic growth that they deserve. So we see where the potential is for growth.
Yeah, I want to touch a little bit on what you said about looking at the bright spots. So I'm curious, do you think that moving forward is the path looking at Delaware school districts that have been successful in seeing growth and adopting those policies? Or do you think we're at the point now where it might behoove us to look outside the state, even further and try to find more resources or more tools that other states are seeing success with?
Well, I don't usually deal with either ors. So I'm going to say yes, both. It's not going to be one or the other. And it's really hard to even have a conversation saying that there's a bright spot, because even the bright spots are still not proficient the way students need to be proficient. And so I don't want to sugarcoat this in any way. I got to give it to you sugar-free, like we like to say. And say where we are is not okay, and nobody is satisfied with this. And so I got to be crystal clear when we lean in on a bright spot. It's not to say, yeah, but there's a five-alarm fire over here. The governor and I declared this emergency when we started from day one of our administration, and these test scores backed up the fact that there is an emergency and we must work on it. And so when there's a five alarm fire, we don't talk about, oh, we better get a better smoke alarm. We put that fire out. We need to lean in on that. And the solutions, the fact that there are bright spots and solutions in Delaware Yes, lean in on that. But this is never a copy paste approach. You don't say, okay, well, over here they haven't figured out. So cut, copy, paste, and just do what they're doing over here, whether that's in Delaware or whether that's across the country, whether that's in DC or California, where I'm from, or Mississippi, where people want to talk about the Mississippi miracle, which when you talk to the Mississippi, they'll say it's a marathon, not a miracle. It does not happen overnight. It is sustained investment in supporting educators in the classroom to have the high quality instructional materials that they need. Delaware has laid the groundwork. The Delaware General Assembly has already laid the tracks for high quality outcomes for students in terms of passing the science of reading and other things that investments that can actually be leveraged to make a difference. But now we need skillful implementation of the practices that we know work in the classroom. And proximity matters. When I say proximity, I mean you got to get closest to the problem that you're trying to solve. So Dover is about, well, Washington, D.C., or the national level, or answers from outside is about as far away from the problem that we're trying to solve. Get into the classrooms, support the superintendents, the school boards, the principals to be the instructional leaders, to ask the right questions, to direct the right supports, and give teachers the tools that they need and the knowledge and skills to use those tools. I mean, you can pass out the very best tools that are available to education and say, okay, everybody has the right tools. Well, that's like going to Home Depot and buying, well, maybe I shouldn't use name brand, going to a store and buying the fanciest circular saw there ever was invented, the most expensive tool there is. And we know that circular saw makes the most beautiful handmade wooden table or whatever you make with a circular saw. I can't just buy that tool and then make the table. I actually need coaching, guidance, support. How do I use this best-in-class tool? So Delaware has all of the makings for sustained systemic growth that is actually owned by the very educators doing the work. And that means we invest in our teachers and we give teachers those kinds of training and support. And they need instructional leaders in the building. They need principals who understand how to move student achievement and how to implement aligned resources aligned to the science of reading. How do you put assessments in place? So I could sit and talk about the test scores all day long. That's the end of the year test. I want to talk about in the classroom every day, getting teachers, if whether it's the letters training that's tightly connected to their lesson materials, whether it's the early literacy leadership academies. We call it ELLA, which is a really cute acronym. I actually like that. The Early Literacy Leadership Academies that gives our school principals and their coaches. There's literacy coaches that know how to push into a classroom. Give me your most challenging student. You're a fourth grade teacher and you have half your class or 100% of your class reading at the first or second grade level, and you don't know what to do. What is that fourth grade teacher supposed to do? The SBAC scores are in, but now what do I do? And so we don't want to talk about the problem and just admire the problem. We want to actually lean in with a coach. So through our ELLA, Early Literacy Leadership Academies, we can unpack that. We can do put in a student-centered coaching cycle where we walk into a third grade or fourth grade teacher's classroom where they say, we're stuck. We don't know how to move these students. They're three grade levels below reading. What do we do? Well, we then actually do side-by-side coaching and we show how to make growth for students that are struggling. We also need early warning systems. We need indicators around students that are struggling with dyslexia. We've passed legislation to identify that. Do we identify the kids that have dyslexia? Are we identifying them holistically and systematically statewide? And then it has to go beyond identify them. What are we going to do about it? Do you have the tools and resources to put in place? And so all of that is like how you build a very deeply braided support system to address this, that there is not a quick fix, there's not a silver bullet, and there is an urgency to it like I have never felt before in my career.
Talking about funding on a larger level here, obviously the big question in Delaware is how do we systemically reform education funding here? And we just recently had a special session that was aiming to fix some problems following a reassessment. And there was some controversy around schools being able to take up to a 10% revenue increase following a reassessment. Obviously, schools haven't been able to utilize this provision in decades because Delaware has not conducted reassessments. on a regular basis. So I just wanted to get your perspective a little bit. There was legislation introduced that would require schools to prove a deficit in order to take advantage of that increase afterwards. That bill did not go through, so now they're still allowed to, use their discretion to see how much they want to raise following a reassessment, which is causing some, issues here for taxpayers because they have some higher tax bills that they weren't expecting. But also there's this larger question of schools have historically been underfunded in Delaware, right? So I just wanted to get your take on following the reassessment process and this special session. How do you feel about this conversation around the 10% piece? And do you see that as an important discussion point moving forward when it comes to education funding reform?
Well, you just outlined it very clearly, the current state of play. Nice job, homework, doing your homework there, Sarah. Those are the large contours of where we find ourselves. And so unpack that a little bit. And first of all, just start with the how people are feeling about the sticker shock of the new higher tax bills, and that when you have not reassessed property taxes in so many years, there will be a result to that. And that's what people are seeing. And so you can unpack all of that. That was all news to me when I got to Delaware. I didn't know the history on that, but I've definitely given myself the fastest history lesson I can. So I understand kind of the current situation. At the end of the day, let's remember where this came from was the NAACP lawsuit around funding in Delaware and the Public Education Funding Commission and Governor Myers' commitment to a more equitable funding mechanism for how we fund our schools, because that does not currently exist. We have an old way of funding schools that is not equitable. When I define equity when it comes to school funding, it's making sure that where there is greater need, there is greater investment. And that is not currently the way it happens. So to understand equitable funding and what every state that has worked on this, it turns into a weighted student formula. And a weighted student formula means that where there's greater need, there's greater investment. So multilingual learners, low-income students, students with high needs for students with disabilities, you could say military-connected youth, you could say foster and homeless youth, that when there's greater need, there should be greater investment. And so it began with this property tax reassessment, began as part of the decision or the agreement in the lawsuit, was that that Delaware needs to reassess its property taxes so that we actually understand the lay of the land. And once that's all been said and done, and right now I know that's being figured out, what fair shares are people paying and how the role is going to be split. But when that all is decided, then we will see that there will still be, I don't know what the right word is, like tax deserts or places where the local tax revenue does not support the need for the schools that the students that attend those schools. And that's where an equitable student funding formula can address that. At the end of that lawsuit, part of the other agreement was to, that's where opportunity funds came from, to try to make more equitable funding. The state had to agree to put money into an opportunity fund. That was beginning to move the state towards a more equitable funding formula. But the entire property tax reassessment is the bigger picture of overall full education funding reform. And so at the end of the day, the 10% that the districts can do as a part of this reassessment, that's a small piece, small but important piece of the puzzle. The bigger piece of the puzzle is a more equitable student funding formula. As you know, you've been following the PEFC. We've talked about the hybrid model funding formula. What will that look like? What part of the unit count is maintained? What part of equity gets built into that? How do we unveil a formula that moves forward in Delaware that takes into account the property tax that's been reassessed and what the new lay of the land is? The idea that you would even need opportunity funding anymore, you wouldn't need that to be layered on because you actually get the formula straight from the start. And the tax bills that people are seeing increases on, I would argue would probably be more because their property value has gone up by a tremendous amount. That is what is the majority of the tax bill going up, not whether a district did whatever percent they did within the 10%. That was part of it. It's part of the puzzle. But all of that is being worked out now. And I want to keep my eye on the prize. At the end of the day, does Delaware walk away from all of this change that was needed and spurred by the fact that schools were not equitably funded? Does Delaware walk away with a more equitable weighted student formula that maintains the kinds of guardrails that we know schools need to have the staff and the supports that they need, but also brings in resources into parts of the city or parts of the state that do not yet have equitable funding, if not for a few more dollars because of opportunity funding or a few more dollars because of multiple efforts that the General Assembly has courageously put through. I mean, there's been courage in getting equity to the places that need it, but it hasn't been a holistic systemic approach. It's been layered on and layered on and layered on, and it's layered on top of the fact that property taxes were off. And so get those right, then see what you have, and then figure out how to build a holistically equitable funding formula for Delaware students because they deserve it.
Thanks to Delaware Education Secretary Cindy Martin and our Sarah Petrowich for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. We hear from a University of Delaware doctoral student who traveled to Texas following last month's deadly flooding to study the response and what can be learned from it. That's next here on The Green on Delaware Public Media.